This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Friday. It's Friday. Woo! Woo! Okay, this is why I didn't want to turn your mic on in the first place.
Trying to add to the vibe.
What is up, beautiful
What's
people?
What's up, my beautiful people?
Yeah, that was a hard, like, cut.
No, like, the song actually just ended there.
Please don't lie to me.
Yes, but happy Friday.
Because it's Friday, you are live with the Millennial Gen. Mm-hmm. Unless if you're listening on a podcast, then you are not live. Because you are listening to a podcast.
But you're as still always, listening, and that's what's important.
Thank you, Kizzy. Yes, so this is the Millennial Gen here at Cliff Central.
Yes.
All right, so we have some dope ladies lined up for you today. Mm-hmm. It is the last day of Women's Month, unfortunately. But I feel like every month should be Women's Month.
We always got to focus on the woman.
Yeah, we always got to focus on the woman. So we're going to keep that conversation going, and we encourage you to do the same. Mm-hmm. All right, so why don't we introduce our first guest? Actually, do not introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. Tell the beautiful people who you are.
Hi, beautiful people. My name is Katua Lowe. I'm a Supersport rugby presenter and EWN Sports anchor, and I'm so excited to be here at CliffCentral.com.
We are so happy to have you.
And you know what? Her voice sounds like she's
so
a presenter.
I was about to say, like, we've never had such a smooth intro.
No, right? Like, I was practicing on the way, guys, so don't worry.
Right? Well, we can hear that. Yeah. All right, so you said you are a Supersport presenter.
Yes.
Am I correct in saying rugby presenter, right? Am I correct in saying that you are the youngest female rugby presenter?
That is correct.
Congrats.
Oh, yes,
thank
you.
Everybody.
We love
thank
that.
You.
We love that. So tell us a bit about that. How did you get into that whole situation?
Well, you know, Supersport, I always wanted to be there in the rugby sphere, and that's where you want to be at. So then a few years ago, they had auditions for Varsity Cup presenters, and being a student at Marty's, Varsity Cup was just everything. You know, it's fierce. You go out there on a Monday evening, you have a Joel, and then there happens to be some rugby as well, but it's just the fierce of the Varsity Cup. So they had auditions, and I was like, man, let's go. So I flew up from Cape Town to come do the auditions, and it just worked out. And so I got the call up in November, I think end of 2016, did my first gig in 2017, and here we are. So I'm still a baby in the super sports sphere, but it's fine, we'll get there. We're earning our stripes,
right?
As we all do.
That's incredible.
It's just nice to be there. Yeah,
that's really, really cool.
I'm still shook by how official her voice is,
dude. Like, you can hear your super sport
everything
presenter.
Is too smooth. Dude, everything is just like too clean, too rehearsed.
You
too
must
finesse.
Just concentrate on what you're saying, because the problem is with me is I always speak too fast, being Afrikaans as well. So then I always concentrate at what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you do it as well, it's easy, man.
See, and we're even learning things.
Yeah, schooled on a Friday afternoon.
That's spectacular. All right, so tell us a bit about yourself. Like, where are you from, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm from the Eastern Cape, East London, to be specifically. I was in Afrikaans school called the Hoërskool Grens there. Nothing goes on in East London, by the way. If
it's
anyone
true,
knows
I've
London.
Been there.
Guys. Slummies, it's called that for a reason. So, yeah, I was there, then went to Marty's Stellenbosch to go study there, sports science, because I was like, you know what, if I'm not going to be on screen or anything, I at least want to be behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because I actually saw back in 2007 the lady run out onto the field with a Springboks, and I was like, yes girl, that's where I want to be.
Yes.
She's part of the team, and not like an unofficial like person, she's like integral part of the team, and I thought that was absolutely epic, and I was like, that's where I want to be at. Now the studies didn't work out so lekker, but that's fine.
It's fine, you really made it.
Yeah. You know, I had the books, I was there, I had Gius, and it was, and I saw Varsity Cup through that, so that's how we got there. But yeah, I'm from East London, went to Marty's, and currently stay in Cape Town. I work on Prime Media, my EWN Sports anchor for KFM and Cape Talk during the week, and whenever Supersport comes around. So that's lekker.
Damn,
so that's like, so cool.
How does it feel to be the youngest female present? Because that's like,
because that's an achievement.
Broke the South
a
African
stigma,
like,
basically.
Yeah. You literally broke the stigma in the country.
Well, no, but firstly, I really want to see more females out there. It's sad that there's only three, because it's, I mean, Alma Mott and myself. Doing the rugby anchoring at the moment.
Out
so
of a team of how many?
So many.
That's so disappointing.
Yeah, so I mean, just think of all the guys you see on it, and it's great. They're allowed to be there, but I just wish, and I hope, that we can keep the door open for more females to come in.
I mean,
we've
got to start somewhere as well, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, so we are making those steps, and we're celebrating those victories as well. And I'm actually heading to the G-Sport Awards tonight with Women's Sports Awards tonight at Wanderers. So I'm very excited to rub shoulders with the cream of the crop.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited.
That's really, really dope. And thank you for for inspiring the people, because you're right, we do need more people.
This one's quiet now. Why are you so quiet?
I told you, I'm shook by like how official everything just became, dude. What?
Well, okay. What? Yeah, so it's been very, very fun in the rugby sphere, but I mean, I'm short. So what makes it funny is that when I do the interview, and ever, if you're ever at a tournament, Varsity Cup, Craven Week, whatever, just try and spot me next to the Rugby Oaks. It's hilarious. then it won't feel as official when I'm trying to get the mic up to their mouths.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So my question is, what is one of the most exciting places that your career has taken you?
Ooh. Well, I'm not going to lie, this is a nice one to be at cliffcentral.com.
Oh, we're so honored.
Thank you for having me. But no, just I think being with SuperSport's a very, very big step for me. And I'm able to travel all over the country. I've been to random places like Nelspruit and like Kimberley. And saying, oh no, it comes from the girl coming from East London. Yeah. But anyway. It's uncensored, right? You can be rude if you want to be. But so it's just been, and working with people I call my heroes and my colleagues now. Mm. So that's very, very cool as well. Yeah.
That is a dope thing when your heroes become your colleagues.
Yeah, right? That's what you try to achieve. That's what you aim for.
That's
like,
goals. Literally.
You know, that's literally it.
It's
that's
like,
goals.
Hey buddy, I've got him on WhatsApp or who? And then it's like, oh my God,
I have your number.
Please, someone don't steal my phone. Yeah, don't do it.
That's awesome. Okay, so my next question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
That's what I was
5 years.
Or 5, 10 years, just hypothetical.
5 years is a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good realistic goal. I think I'd be like to be like more involved with SuperSport, not maybe just rugby, more other sports as well. I really love cricket, I love tennis, I love all the spectrums of sport. And just be more involved there, and I think just keep, you know, breaking that glass ceiling, you know, for women everywhere and getting more ladies involved. And I'm just growing sport in South Africa. We've got so much potential, man. I love it here.
Really,
and the Gies is amazing. Everything, the youngsters coming through are absolutely amazing. So I just want to see them thrive and South African sports thrive worldwide, because I believe we can be like number one in everything.
I really think we can.
Yes, we can. I mean, I believe that.
We're already off to a great damn
smashing
start.
You're not speaking about the Springboks at this moment.
No, I'm speaking about you.
Just about
your glass ceiling.
I was thinking about the Springbok Sevens. Aren't they doing pretty well?
No, they are absolutely awesome. I can't wait. Cape Town Sevens coming in a couple of months.
You see, that's another cool thing that's coming up. So we'll see you there, because I'm definitely trying to get myself.
Are you really though?
No, I am. I'm definitely going to Cape Town.
Are you going?
For rugby?
Yeah,
no. He's going for Daisy.
I'm going for other stuff.
But Daisy's is like now, man.
I know, but like,
you know, they show the rugby at Daisy's.
Yes, I know. I actually did watch.
Uses,
I watched the rugby last year at Daisy's.
That's
that
the only reason Kenisa actually knows what rugby is.
Okay. First of all, Zinhle, you were saying that you're going to be next. Do you know a single thing about rugby, girl?
Look at her eyes. She's
that's a
like,
no.
I can do research.
You can learn.
Yeah, I can learn.
If you have the passion, you can learn.
Exactly.
So my next question is, Zinhle, are you passionate about rugby?
I'm passionate about South Africa.
H. That was a good answer.
That's the quote of the day.
You definitely shut me down there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big thing, because Kenisa never shuts up.
You guys are just so rude today. So damn rude. Okay, my next question for you is, you said you've always really loved sport and you've really enjoyed sport. First, it's a two-part question. First part is, what are your favorite sports and what got you involved in sports? What made you love sports
and
as much as you do?
Do you play any sport?
That's
well,
a three-part question.
I wish I could be, you know, Wimbledon champion or whatever, but I'm not. I am the fan of it. When I was younger, I grew up in Hogsback, a little town in the Eastern Cape. Beautiful. That's why I believe in fairies, by the way, because it's like forests and Lord of the Rings and like, okay.
That sounds awesome.
BTW. Yeah, by the way, I do believe in fairies, just so we can add that into it. But because of Hogsback, just go visit Hogsback. Yes. It's a must-see, a bucket list place. But we always went cycling, mountain biking, playing tennis with my dad. And I just always loved how you can push yourself mentally, and I love that. And then also just growing up watching rugby, everyone bringing everyone together in front of a TV watching this Gies. Again, that Gies coming through. I love being part of that. I love that.
Gies for the boy.
Gies Freida.
You have to take it from the throat, guys.
I didn't realize I love that word so much. I do apologize.
No, it's no problem. I think it's the perfect word to describe it. Because I mean, even if you don't like rugby, I like rugby. I'm just not crazy about it. You know?
Which one are you crazy?
Yeah. Three like rugby players.
Siya Kolisi, Francois Hoogaart, and
Come on.
I'm so close.
You're so close.
He's like, ah, dude.
All of them are like that. You can't die.
There's muscles. One guy, he headbutted someone.
That's who I was thinking of.
The love of my life. That's what I said.
Really? He can pick you up with his hands.
I know. Like, okay, excuse me.
He can crush your skull.
Let me just give you some facts here, okay?
Sure.
So,
So, hello.
The Springboks used to train at my high school. Mm-hmm. Really cool stuff. And I actually have a picture with Evan, and he gave me his jersey.
Why? So what did you do?
Fell in love, okay? We're getting married in like a few years' time.
Did he chuck his jersey to you? Like just
No. So they were giving out jerseys to everyone. I was just like,
you try to make yourself seem special.
You know, I thought he came up to you, like kissed you on the hand, took off his shirt and gave it to you.
Okay, that's what happened in my mind, guys.
Come on, let's go with the other story.
I heard a rumor that they had to extend the barbells at the gym because his hand was too big.
Most probably.
What?
Like, for real, like his hands were too big. Like, he was picking it up on those things on the back. Imagine.
What no, things? Guy's, what did you just show tank. Us?
I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. Thank goodness this is the radio show.
Doesn't go to gym.
Thank goodness this is a radio show.
Yeah.
Okay, so, got a couple more questions for y'all. First one is not really a question. It's just, if you wanted to say something to anyone listening who wanted to be where you are, because like you said, we need more women involved.
Mm.
What would you say to inspire people to get more involved?
Well, also to back yourself, know your stuff.
Yes.
Like, even if you are passionate about sport, but then you suddenly want to be there, you have to know your stuff as well. You have to have a foundation. Now, if you want to get into the TV, radio is really the platform to do that. Like, join a campus station, a community station. Go get some knowledge in that sphere so you can move on to the next level. With all the knowledge in your foundation, can't be shook by anyone because you know your stuff. So know your stuff, and then also just put your head down and work, man. You know, I mean, there's no substitute for hard work. So just there's no substitute for that. You have to put in the hours. You can't, you put on the mic and then you think, oh, hey, SuperSport, can you give me a call? No, it's not going to work like that. You have to put in the hours, graft, and I promise you, you'll get there.
I like that. That was dope. You're right. There's no substitute to hard work. So damn polished. Straight. Sure. That should be like the main point people take away. No substitute from hard work. Speaking of hard work, what would you say is one of the hardest things that you'd have to had to face on this journey that you are on?
Well, obviously just people, like, they struggle to take females seriously. Yes. Really, they do. And that sucks. And just because, again, I'm short doesn't mean I don't know my stuff.
Yeah.
So that was quite tough. But, I mean, you kind of learn not to take things personally. And also just if you really know your stuff, you must just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Like, you can't let it put you off the path because otherwise no one's going to get anywhere, unfortunately. So you just have to go on. And unfortunately, also especially the older generation, they are going to hate on these ladies every time.
Damn
I see
straight.
An old wormy, then they're like, oh, you gonna interview me? I'm like, yes. And it's like, don't test me. Don't test
we'll
me.
Fight
worm.
You.
You must hit them with those bad questions, the ones that put them on their side.
Yes,
you know,
they make them feel bad.
You can see the blank look on their faces. Then I'm like, now you are on air. Go. So that, I think that was it. That's a tough one for me. And also also not enough opportunities, I think, for women out there. Like, you really have to fight for everything you've got. And hopefully, the woman before me, they've done a good job. And hopefully, I can keep doing that job for those next or after me. So let's hope that continues as well.
I mean, you're within the platform now. So it's like, you've got the responsibility now. You need it.
Yes.
We are
got the torch.
Exactly. Yes. You know that saying, we stand on the shoulders of giants. You're on your way to becoming a giant. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing what
a
you're doing.
A mini giant, but
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I'm joking. I know what you mean.
Wow, it was like, it's been such a pleasure having you. And when they reached out to me to have you on the show, they actually said the title of the email was "Dynamite Comes in Small Packages." That was
get a tattoo.
So true.
Yeah.
That is so true because you are dynamite, man.
Thank
Keep
you
doing
so
what
much.
You are doing.
Did
it's
you
incredible.
Tell them to say that, by the way?
No, of course not. No, I didn't. I really didn't. I didn't.
Are you sure? I'm a
yeah,
little
I mean,
bit
that sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
I didn't. I did not. I'm going to stop saying I did not.
Because it's making it sound a little untrue. Okay, so we have a few more questions for you. It's not really so much about sports, but it's about, we're seeing where the country is now, right? What drastic changes do you think we, that our generation, need to start implementing to make drastic change? Am I making sense?
Yes.
It's quite a hectic question. Yeah. I probably should have sent it to you beforehand. My That's bad.
Cool. We wing it. We're in radio, hey?
Right?
It's 2018, firstly. So we can't learn about this stuff anymore. School's out. It's time to go to work. So if you know there's inequality, you know there's stuff going on in the country, now you have to put that stuff into... You have to work towards changing those stuff. You can't just talk about it. You actually have to do it. So if you say you're into female empowerment, then make sure in your company you have females from the bottom up. Mm. If you say you are against racism, you know, which you should obviously, yes. Then make a point of it. You know, like, don't talk about it. Do it. And I think especially with us being on our phones and social media and stuff, it seems... No, not you.
Awkward.
Like, no. What I mean is just to say is that you think a like or a retweet... retweet will help, but it doesn't. You have to actually go physically do something and say something and stand for something instead of hiding behind, you know, keyboard warriors or whatever. So I think for this generation, it's important to use our platforms because we have much bigger platforms, but to use it and actually physically, practically go and do what you say you are going to do.
Yeah. I mean, we are the generation of change, and we actually... But I think we need to change that from the generation of change to the generation of action.
Yes. Amen. There we go. That's perfectly summed up.
There's too many people chatting behind their keyboards, acting like big men, sharing all these political articles and all that
trying
nonsense.
To spice things up. Yeah. But what are you doing?
But what are they actually doing to make a difference in the country?
Yes.
Like, that's so
true. So we need
true.
To find balance now. So we had the generation that didn't have all these platforms. Now we have the generation that has all the platforms. Now we need to balance it out to use those platforms for good and actually back our words on our social media and do it. That's
right.
School's out, guys. School's
Preach.
Out.
No, that was incredible. That's a very true point. I think to add to that, like, one thing that's happened with our generation, with the influx of things like Facebook and these social medias where you can be completely detached from what you're saying,
yeah.
is that internet trolls have become so pertinent. People who have no problem hiding behind their keyboard, spewing
Bullies,
absolute
yeah,
hatred
yeah.
into the world, spewing nonsense, like... That's the only downfall, one of the only downfalls of social media, I feel. And with us being aware of this, we have to do what we can to change it. Mm. So what you're saying is 100% right. We need to follow up our words with actions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Less words, more actions.
I think so.
Exactly.
But not forget about, because we have these platforms. Like, use it, but just use it right.
And yes. put other people on, guys.
I mean, that's what the millennial gen's about.
Yeah. Like, take care of your people, man.
Yeah.
Take care of your people.
Also, not if, like, if you, especially I think also for women, guys don't compete as much with each other in a space. But us women, we seem to hate each other if another woman steps into a space, which doesn't make sense because there are like 10 million men there, but you're worried about the one other woman there.
Yeah.
We should just have more seats at the table and be okay. Like, it's not a competition. It's not me or you. It's me and you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that.
Turn from presenter to inspirational speaker.
Right?
Real quick.
I'll just add that to my next. When I come again, I'll add that to my CV.
I like it.
Love that.
Do you have any last words about Women's Month for our viewers? Something, because I mean, you've inspired the people, goddamn.
A lot.
Do you have anything to say in passing, in closing, rather, just to let them go with a bang?
I know. I just think, keep. If you have a passion for sport, if you have a passion for anything that seems male-dominated or whatever, go for it. Don't take no for an answer. Take that no and be like, okay, how can I change it to change it into a yes? So keep going, and I'll see you on the other side.
Yes.
Yes, come on.
It was honestly...
With Eben.
Yes, with my partner.
You didn't even know how to say his name, did you?
It's like, there's that guy, the tall one.
Yes.
But honestly, it was such a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'd love to have you back here. Next time you're in Joburg, you got my number. Give me a call and we'll have you back. We're going to be back.
Thank you so much.
And good luck for the rest
good
of
luck.
The year and the rest of your career.
The rest of everything.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Do you know what I want? Do you know
thanks
what I
so
hope
much.
For you? I hope that you rise in super sports and you dominate and you kill that shit and then you start your own thing that completely overpowers super sports.
Sure.
I believe that you can
do
that.
You're like a hidden vendetta.
Yeah, exactly. You don't like
You want a job, eh? Hey, yeah. That's why. That's why. You want a job. I'm watching you.
He wants to be the only male in a female-dominated industry.
Feel how it feels.
I wouldn't mind.
I know why, though. Really, we know why, though.
What are you... Okay.
Huh? But thank you very much. That's a very positive... to just keep going.
Right, yes. Just keep going.
Raising
keep
the bar,
fighting
hey?
The good fight. Exactly. Yeah. Keep raising the bar. All right, so we're going to take a quick music break, beautiful people.
And oh, wait, do you want to share your handle
yes.
so that people can find you?
Social media, all of that stuff.
Okay, at Katua Low. So I know it sounds weird, but it's C-A-T-O. Low, like not ni warm ni ni koud ni maar low, like in the middle. So not hot, or not cold, but low.
Oh. I did low. Oh. Understand?
Right. Lukewarm.
So like low is an L-O-W or L-O-U-W.
L-O-U-W. But I was just joking, guys. I'm making jokes. Can I not? Okay, so comedian's not on the cards. Okay. It's fine. So at Katua Low, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming. We loved having you. It was glorious. Yo, woo-hoo. I've got Snino Glass Flows. Enjoy.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, I don't say nothing that I don't know. Jumping out the womb wearing polo. Ooh. Everybody gonna jump out, but I'm old school. Ooh, get money, now switch. Ooh. I told you I was coming with that jazzy, man. Alright, guys, thank you for still staying with us, still being with us. It's the Millennial Gen Show. We have more heat, more fire. We have a new guest, yo! Mm-hmm. Yeah! Okay, actually, I lied. First of all, I have to tell you guys something very exciting. They just dropped a super secret confidential letter on my desk. It's this, you know,
it says, I want to know what it is.
It literally says, for the eyes of Cliff Central people only. So you guys are hearing something that no one... Ooh, shoot, your mic was a little below there. Hi. Okay, so back to my super secret envelope, and then I'm going to introduce you. So, sex, murder... and puppets. Ooh. The Happy Time Murders is a crime comedy film featuring the comedic genius Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joe McHale. Those are some funny people, shit. When the puppet cast of an 80s children's TV show begins to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye, Puppet, takes the case on. It's hilarious. Who done it? How do I say that? Who done it? Hilarious. Who done it? That is decidedly no sesame or street. The Happy Murders releases in South African cinemas today on the 31st of August. Bam, 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 bam. And I literally just threw that piece of paper away. So let's get back to more fire flames. Hi, guest. Why don't you introduce yourself? Because you will do it far better than I will.
I am Hafisa, and I am what used to be deputy chair of Amnesty Vince.
Ooh.
As of today, I'm not anymore, but...
Was this like... Can we talk about why?
Well, it's not anything scandalous. We just like had elections and I decided I'd rather not run again. So
it's just so spicy, guys. Like, oh my gosh.
Ooh, a little bit of internal conflict.
Yeah.
And Hafisa is here to talk about some real issues.
Yes.
Some real.
Is exactly why we wanted to have you on the show. So I think the first question.
I want to know if we're going to get the juice on what goes down at Fitz.
Amnesty.
Are you sure you want to know about
toxic political spaces? We want to know.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, give us the juice.
Yeah, so.
It went quiet because we was waiting for the juice, man.
I am part of Amnesty Vits, which is the only human rights organization at Vits. And we look into issues of gender-based violence, primarily husband this year. But the main campaign that we're doing is Worth Bleeding For, which is a campaign for free pads. And we're trying to push the university, actually, to get girls free pads on campus because it's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's been quite a challenge, but that's our objective. And hopefully by the end of this year, we're hoping to have free pads.
That's dope. I mean, like, that's really something that they should do. Because, I mean, how many places do they hand out free condoms like they're candy, but they don't want to...
Actually, we, like, reject that notion entirely.
How so?
Well, because, I mean, free condoms contribute to safe sex. And we're not going to bring down other people's struggles. And we know that those access to... condoms and contraception was something really hard won and fought for, so we try to distance ourselves from that. But you're right, I mean, if they can provide free condoms to male students, because it's always male condoms, then they should be providing sanitary pads.
I think that's what I was getting at. I wasn't trying to say that safe sex is bad, because safe sex is great. Here at the Millennial Gen, we approve safe sex. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was just making the same point that if they can spend that money on making so many condoms
that
for
are
males,
flavored, flavored condoms.
Really, do we need to like?
That's the one that got me. Yeah, when they started bringing flavored condoms, I was like,
very
so
confusing.
Now there's actually a variety.
Yeah, of, but like we can't have free pads. Very confusing,
right?
But I think what's important is like you were talking about all these struggles, and like it's dope that Fitz is trying to do this, but like, this is something the whole country should be doing,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, there are so many different organizations all over the country trying to work on this issue. A big problem has been trying to get everyone to work together, yeah. And just, you know, bringing together a group of individuals from each organization to work on pushing for this. And I think it's largely because of the disconnect that it hasn't had the impact that it should be having. The activism. Yeah.
So like, how can the everyday Joe help? Like, they don't go to VITS, they don't go to UJ, they're not in university, but they see the struggle and they want to contribute.
I suppose you could try to petition your local government. You can start pad drives in your communities, your churches, schools, etc. And of course, just like keep the pressure up on social media. We all know that our politicians are very tuned into Twitter.
Yep.
So Twitter has become a real tool for activism. And if you're on Twitter and you're not using it for activism, what are you even doing?
Yeah, wow.
So let me tell you guys, Twitter is actually known as the public sphere. Mm-hmm. It's from my media textbook.
Yeah, we can actually
pop
on that.
I was like, is he going to know what I'm talking about? Has he been to a lecture?
Michael, you saw me in that Twitter
once,
lecture.
Once. Yeah, conveniently the Twitter lecture.
Okay, guys, we were talking about something important and now you guys are just bitching. Damn.
I feel like Kanusa has like a personal
problem.
Yeah,
like there's something wrong with him today. I don't know.
It's come on.
Like, jealous
okay?
That he doesn't
maybe
go to first.
Is everything okay at home?
Yeah, join and
Anyways, back to our guest. So what made you want to join Amnesty in the first place?
I was really interested in, like, I suppose, social issues.
Yeah.
And I tried to do the whole politics thing, and it failed miserably because politics is...
also very problematic.
Very problematic.
Thank you.
So what I did was I started getting involved in social groups and so on. Amnesty really... struck me because it's an activist campaigning group. It's not necessarily a charity organization or a volunteer group. So it's mostly about conscientization, teaching people, well, not teaching because that's a problematic word, but informing people and doing research and, you know, petitioning, going to government, doing those sorts of things.
So can I ask why you didn't decide to run for chair?
Well, I think that what we need in politics spaces across the board at universities is new, vibrant voices, young people who are willing to take the things that they see as important on our campuses, off our campuses, in their communities, and, you know, really push for change. I think that a lot of us, I mean, this is my fourth year at WITS, and I've been active in those spaces since my first year. And I think some of us are just becoming like old and redundant. And because of that, there's a lot of like factionalism, fighting, and just general, you know, beef that's been going on for 3 years and needs to die now. So I really think that we need to start pushing for the younger ones to get involved.
But I feel like that's important though, because it's like, as a leader, you saw it as your time to step down.
Yeah,
and allow for a younger, fresh perspective.
And a lot of people have a problem with that. Like, everyone just wants to be in power forever.
Yeah.
We know that in
Africa. Yeah, we're acting a few presents. Yeah.
Shit. Like, for real. Wow. We used to that shit. Like, we know.
Okay, so how do I get involved in FITS Amnesty? Or, like, someone who goes to VITS? Like, is there, like, a...
So, you can sign up as a member by, you know, filling out a form, paying membership fees and so on. And, of course, we're going to be doing recruiting during a week, but you can also just get involved by coming to our events, engaging, you know, speaking to us on our social media, sharing our
information and stuff, and just, yeah.
And then I just have another question. You mentioned, like, one of your other focuses this year has been gender-based violence. So can you tell us more about that?
So we're really concerned about the state of gender-based violence. Earlier this year, we spoke to Yolanda from the university currently known as Rhodes. And Yolanda was an activist during the RU reference list protests. And she was subsequently, you know, expelled from the university, but also given a lifetime ban for protesting sexual and gender-based violence. And so we're taking this very seriously this year. We had workshops. We've been working with the Gender Equity Office, and we're planning on doing our own countrywide research on gender-based violence at universities.
So how do we do? How do we get involved in the bigger picture? Because this
she
isn't
needs
just
to go back to school.
Not just that, but like. You were asking how do people get involved in VITS Amnesty, but I feel like this is a platform for more than just VITS students. It's a
bigger,
platform for the youth.
Yeah.
It's a platform for everyone in this country. And yeah, how do they get involved in, first of all, gender-based violence? That's a very big issue we have in this country.
Yeah.
And like, we've actually focused a lot of our studies on
it.
But yeah, how do we get involved? Because that
like,
shit needs
as
to come
human
to
being,
an
not
end.
Even, yeah, like getting involved might not be the right word. But how do we how do we support the cause? What can we do to support the cause? What can we do to change the dialogue about these issues? Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think sometimes people underestimate their own power. And they think, well, somebody else, some big organization like Amnesty or some big governmental office or whatever is supposed to be making the change. And that's not true, especially when we're talking about sexual and gender-based violence, because it's a social issue. So we need to be talking to our friends, our peers, our parents, family members, colleagues about this. We need to be outing rapists. and we need to be taking it seriously. You know, I think a lot of the time the conversation around these things are just people don't want to talk about it, or when people do want to talk about it, they want to, you know, they don't want to talk about the nuance of it. They just kind of want to go, rape is bad, but it's okay if my buddy is, you know, getting girls drunk at the bar for like a little.
Okay.
And I think it's about the conversation, but it's also about realizing your own power in your space. So even if you're doing nothing activism related, you work corporate or you work retail or whatever, you can still make that place a safe space, essentially.
I feel like, that's very important, because a lot of people underestimate how much just speaking about an issue can actually change. Like you said, the nuance and the stigma around it, because I feel like it's a very hard topic to speak about. Like, you don't know who you would speak about if you were to get raped in the first place.
Yeah, and I think it's just about creating safe spaces.
Safe.
Yeah. Because no one wants to talk because they
they feel threatened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to backfire.
That's very true. Do you know, like, of any
safe spaces?
Safe spaces for one, or organizations or numbers that people can call if they are in a predicament like that?
Yeah, so I mean, my space of activism and living and work and everything has been VITS for the longest time, so I can really just speak about VITS. And I know that the Gender Equity Office does a lot of great work on this. So if somebody is sexually assaulted or, you know, struggling or whatever, they can go to the Gender Equity Office, they can go to the CCDU. Of course, anybody can just go to the police station and file a report. And there are a wealth of organizations. If you just Google, you know, gender-based violence organizations, you'll get a bunch of organizations like Power, for example, who offer safe shelters, things like that, for women who are fleeing gender-based violence.
I feel like it's important to tell our listeners that, like, if you are going through something like that, it's important that you do speak to someone. Like, yeah, if it's not like your friend or like, just speak to someone, because
speak to someone, you know?
It's important that you seek help.
It's important to know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And Adair actually said we were doing something yesterday, and he mentioned, like, based on the point of how you don't. Zintle, why are you looking at him like that, dude?
What were you guys doing?
No, we had an interview yesterday.
We had an interview.
Okay.
Jeez, you're so spicy, dude. Can you let me say my point? Damn. Oh, he was saying, based on the thing you were saying about how people don't understand the power of their voice, you know?
Yeah.
He was saying, like, one person screaming down the street by themselves would probably be heard by very few. But then if you get 50 people together screaming the same song, all of a sudden it's crowd. All of a sudden, you know? So know that you're not alone. Know that your voice means more than you think it does. And yeah, take care of yourself and seek help.
Yeah, the thing is, if you have the power to speak up, it can inspire someone down the road to speak up. And
exactly.
That has a domino effect in the longer run.
Same note, Rhodes, because you know there's been a lot of cases of sexual assault lately. They've actually started a Twitter page where they're like outing rapey men and like sexual assaulters. So if you've like done anything fishy or whatever, they'll be like, this is... XYZ, he stays in this residence, he's known for doing this, like getting girls drunk at parties, stay away from this guy. Yeah, it's really dope.
It's like a sisterhood.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay. And I think that stuff like that is essential. I mean,
so we need to call people out.
We do. And I mean, like, so the... What the hell? So on Twitter, right, have you seen this thing about Adam Katsavelis?
We're not really going to talk much.
We're not going to talk much about him
because he doesn't deserve airtime, and what he did does not deserve airtime. So what we're going to talk about is the way Twitter reacted.
I think it was amazing.
I think it was dope. Like
his apology was shit.
Yeah, his apology. I haven't even heard it.
He didn't mean it.
It was so disingenuous. Like someone,
he apologized to everyone but the people he offended. He was like, "I'm sorry to my family." Yeah. And but what about I'm sorry to?
Yeah. Who in your family is? Shut up, dog. Come on. Enough of that. Okay. I saw the Adam challenge. That was hilarious.
What was that?
Boy, I saw people taking out their phones, black people, and they'd be like, yeah, let me give you a weather report. Not a cloud in the sky. It's looking great. And then there'd be someone in the background, like a black guy walking behind him in the background, and then he'd be like, oh. Damn.
Yeah, but what I was saying is like how Twitter put his address and like all of that stuff. That name of shame.
They outed him.
That's hectic. You know, so don't fuck around with Twitter. Don't play that game.
But I also think it's important to see like the way the country reacted. Like a lot of people, they were like, you know what? First of all, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
We don't give two fucks about this guy. Like he can enjoy his life wherever else. Well, not enjoy it, but he can go do whatever else he's doing wherever. And it didn't seem to affect that many people in a negative space. Like, they were happy to see him being outed as a racist. And they weren't really... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. You're very good at my synonyms. Like, you're on my wavelength sometimes.
Not today, bro. Not today, But I do know what you mean. But yeah, so basically the point I was making is that there's power in numbers. There's power in the people you trust and love. Take care of yourself. Look after yourself.
And speak up.
And speak the F up. To our incredible guests, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
We appreciate having you. We appreciate the conversation that went down today.
Yeah. You know? And do you want to tell the people where they can find you on social media?
So we have a very active Twitter, which is at @AI_bits. And then we have a not so active Facebook, Amnesty International Vids, but you can still go like our page and see all of our events and stuff.
Cool. And what about you specifically? Or are you just
what about
like
me?
Private?
Well, I'm at @FizzaBlack on Twitter and also on Instagram at @FizzaBlack.
Okay, there we go.
There we go indeed.
I have like a really, it's just a question. I know you're studying English right now, but like...
I know the source is coming.
No, it's not. Relax. I just want to know, what's your plan like afterwards? Like, do you still want to carry on with English, or do you want to be more like political and do something like...
I feel like these things are interconnected though. I'm a writer and I use my writing as my platform for activism.
True.
So... whatever I go into, I will still be doing activism.
We should have started with that, actually.
Yeah.
No, but it, like, it's also important to, like, yeah, you writing is your outlet.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I thought you were going to make more of a point there. I can't lie.
We're looking for more bars.
More bars. Yo, you guys don't know the bars I was dropping in these interviews tomorrow. You want me and Adele on, please?
I'm just jealous I wasn't there.
Anyways, okay. But yeah, it's about that time, guys. From us here at the Millennial Gen, it's me, at Kanye Palmer on all social media. I wish you guys love, light, happiness, a spectacular weekend. Be safe, take care of yourself, all those glorious things.
Mm-hmm. It's your boy Adeo, aka Your Majesty. Everything that Kinesis said, times two.
I try to outdo you. Fake news, motherfucker. Okay. This is why we need Turn It In at Cliff Central, because this is the second time someone's done this to me. But anyways, Yeah, times two.
Okay, we're just gonna think of like original outros. I don't have one right now.
Zed does the most. Yeah. That's like, I won't lie, your name is quite dope.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll tell the story of how I got it another day. But yeah, Zed does the most. Saying goodbye.
Yes, y'all. So, I got a track to sign you out with, and it's from that Hablo Brown.
The Hablo,
Hablo Brown.
So I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's from Selection. Selection are gonna be here for Rocking the Daisy, so you damn know I will be there.
No, I can't be there, bro.
Don't worry, you're coming to In the City with me.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. No, I'm joking. I'll join you, cause you know. Awkward.
Okay, yeah,
but anyways, y'all, here's that Hablo Brown. I love y'all. Peace.
This is CliffCentral.com.